We made a wrong turn, and Courtney is dealing with her dark passenger. This is a dead air episode. Welcome to Wrong Turn Podcast.
Dead air.
Hey, Courtney, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You tell me earlier you got some real life horror going on.
I did. Well, yeah. Life lately has been a little challenging, but that's expected. But no, I do have a good story. It is... So I do like part-time dog sitting gigs. So last week I was with a couple of dogs. They're two pit bulls, like two super lovely pit bulls. I know those dogs get a bad rap, but these ones are so friendly with dogs, with kids, with other people, great walkers, da-da-da, like star clients as far as dogs go. But as dogs go, they catch things. And so one night it was like... It's like 9:30-ish, and they have like their little backyard. So I sent him out to the backyard to go potty before we were kind of going in for the night. And I heard a like kerfuffle, and I look out into the backyard and I can see that they have caught a possum. And they are like playing tug of war with this possum at this point. Like this possum's like screeching, and I'm just like, okay, like, they are dogs. They are protecting their yard, and they're going, this possum's a goner. Like, this possum's dead. And I'm just kind of thinking like, okay, I will tell the owners like what happened. Like, I'm going to go get some gloves on and grab a garbage bag and toss it in the trash, because that's just what I would do. But it was gross. Like, I've just like hearing this possum screaming and watching these two like play tug of war with it, I was like, oh God, this poor possum.
Like, playing tug of war with a fucking creature. That's fucking...
I know, but this is the worst part is like, because it's dark out, right? And like, I have the back porch light on, but I can't see fully everything going on. All of a sudden, I hear like these little tiny screams and like movement in the yard. And I was like, oh shit, it was a mama possum. And the yard is like full of little baby possums now.
Oh, they're just scurrying around?
Yeah, because they were on her. Like, she must have been going through the backyard and all of her little babies on top of her as mama possums carry their babies. And then obviously the dogs grabbed her and like started flinging her. And I think the babies just kind of flung all over the yard as well.
Oh shit.
And so I was like, oh my fucking God. And like, after the dogs dropped the possum, like once the possum was dead, like I was quick to like kind of clap my hands and get the dogs inside. But my priority is the dogs. So I have to go inside. Yeah. And they're all bloody. And so I'm kind of freaking out. Like, I'm shaken up because I'm like, oh shit, are these dogs okay?
Yeah. You don't know if they got scratched. You don't know if like.
Yeah. Like, it's a possum. And exactly. And so I grab some towels and I'm like cleaning them up, and they're fine. Like, truly, they're just like looking at me, wagging their tails. Like, did we do good? Like, they're like, because they're dogs and it's their yard. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they're fine. Like, once I got them inside, they took like a drink of water, like nothing. And like literally went to go lay down in their beds. And I'm like, okay, dogs are fine.
Yeah. You did super good.
We did super good. And like, I didn't yell at them or anything. Cause once again, like, they are dogs. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And what I do is like, I tried to call the owners and she didn't answer. And so I just sent her a quick text. I was like, look, everything's fine, but there is a situation going on. I was like, I'm going to call the non-emergency and I'm going to call animal control, whatever. Cause I like, they have to come get these baby possums. Like, I don't know what to do. So I went back outside just to like look. And of course, there's like all these little screaming, I don't know, like screaming baby possums is a sound I never thought I'd hear. So just
sorry, just like, just the, like, what did it sound like? What were you?
It's like ee, like, but multiple because there was so many, just like in the yard. And I was like, oh shit. And like the Midwestern in me wanted to like grab a bucket and like grab a towel and like start picking them up and like, you know, name them. I'll be like, this one's Dennis, like this one's Carl. But again, this isn't my house. I don't know where things are. So I'm like, I know. So I call the non-emergency line and they keep putting me on hold. And I like keep calling back and I'm like, hi, like, and they're like, ma'am, is this, if this like isn't an emergency, you can hold. And they just put me on hold. And I was like, well, what the point? What's the point of this non-emergency line? Like, I'm like, I know I don't like, this isn't a situation that calls for, like, needs me to call 911. Like, I do not need police, you know? So I called back again for like the fourth time and I got a different lady and I was like, look, I'm like, I need animal control to come out here and get these baby possums. Like, these dogs killed the mom. She's a goner. And all of these babies are going to start dying, I think. And then this lady was so nice. She's like, I'm so sorry that we were putting on you on hold. Like, we just got a ton of calls. Like, we're going to send out animal control. She's like, I'm so sorry. It might take a while. And I was like, okay, like, no worries. As long as I know that you're on your way. But it had been like an hour and I'm going back outside and like checking and like the screams are getting fainter and fainter. And I was like, oh my God, they are dying. Like, I am trying to save all these little animals. So I call back and I'm like, hey, I called about an hour ago. Like, I'm waiting for animal control. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, let me get an ETA. And she gets back and she goes, okay, he should be there like shortly. Like, he's on route, like route to you. I was like, okay, cool. And he gets there and he was so sweet. Cause like, I am still not like I've calmed down at this point, but like when he got there, I was like, oh, they killed her. Like, her dead body's in the yard. And I was like, and the babies, I think they're dying. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to pick him up. And he's like, ma'am, you're okay. Like, it's good. I'll take care of it. Like, you're, everything's fine. Da, 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 da. And also, by the way, Edgar, this man was very attractive.
It just became a different kind of movie all of a sudden. Just like, yeah, I'm here to deliver animal control to you.
I know. And I was like, oh God, like, under a different circumstance, I might have been like, well, hello, sir. Like,
every opportunity you don't take.
But at this point, you know, I'm working basically. So I'm like, oh God, like, and he was so nice. And he like had his flashlight out and went into the backyard and was like, looked at the dead mom. And he was like, oh yeah, yeah, they ripped her up. And I was like, don't say that. Like, and then he's like, yeah, there's dead babies on her too. And I'm like, sir, like, but he just went around the yard and he had a garbage bag and then he had a little box because some were alive and he took the alive ones in the box with a towel. And unfortunately, some didn't make it. And I did ask him how many and he said that he had counted 10, but then he stopped counting. And I was like, that seems like a lot. And he said, yeah, they like, he didn't know how like fresh they were, or I don't know, maybe he just didn't want to tell me.
Fair.
But
100%, yeah,
yeah.
If he's noticing that you're like shooken up by like the whole situation, I'm like,
yeah, which is fine. But he was like, honestly, they weren't even all going to make it. Cause like, I guess mama possums, when they are like traveling like that, babies fall off and the mama possum doesn't even notice. Like, she wouldn't even go back. Like, she just is on her. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, possums, I guess, are pretty independent. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, so that was it. And like another lady showed up too with animal control to like help him. And she was really nice too. And by that time, like, we were all kind of like joking around and it ended up being like, now it's just a funny and interesting story. But yeah, that was that. Possum murder.
I mean, yeah, that's a little rough. Nobody wants to see like animals fucking maimed and taken apart. I mean, what did the owners say?
Oh, so yeah, I explained everything to them and they were so apologetic and they were like, we are so sorry that you had to deal with this. Like, And she was like, do you need anything? Like, are you hurt? Like, what's going on? Like, they truly,
once tip money, extra tip money.
Well, she Venmo'd me a fat tip like the next day, and which was very sweet and everything like that. And but they were so nice. Like, once I was like, the dogs are fine, they truly were like, yeah, we know, but like, are you okay? Which is the appropriate answer. Which is the correct answer.
And like, that's how fucking horror movies happen, you know? Just like, turn around, next thing you know, fucking blood everywhere.
And yeah,
yeah, we're that was Courtney's real life horror for the week. We're glad you're okay, and you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm also glad the dogs are okay, but like, yeah, it's always weird seeing those things in real life. You know, we think we're desensitized to these things because people can handle them, but like, nah, man, once you see yourself in real life, like, that's why I never understood, like, you know, thank God I'm not on, like, I don't have to make friends anymore or like, you know, try to date online. Because I remember like coming across people be like, oh, you don't like dangerous situations, you know? I'm like, have you been in one?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. All the time. you know, when I was single for a little bit, there's come across these profiles, be like, oh, you don't like dangerous situations? Like, I love a good, you know, a good scare. I'm like, I don't think that sounds like somebody who hasn't been in a dangerous situation.
Right?
Because then you don't understand how much you take your fucking safety for granted. But like, you know, luckily you and the dogs are okay.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know, unfortunately, I mean, those baby possum hopefully get released back into the wild, the ones that survive. But that's also kind of like the fucking circle of life, unfortunately. Like,
it
outside
is. Sometimes. Yes. I mean, like,
if the dogs didn't get her, the pit bulls didn't get her, then maybe like a coyote would, because apparently this place is like rife with coyotes.
Yeah, where we live, there are a lot of coyotes. So you're right. Like, it literally is a circle of life. These are animals, and this is what they do. Like, you know, like, dogs attack.
Yeah. R.I.P. to Ming's cat, like Bagheera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember Bagheera.
One day just disappeared, and we're like, pretty sure.
Pretty sure he got snatched up by a coyote or hit by a car. Because.
Or better scenario. Like, best case scenario, got picked up by some family because it was a friendly cat and then living in the
exactly. Best life right now, so. Let's just hope it's that. Yeah. But also, that's wild that on dating profiles, like, women wanted to know if you liked being in dangerous situations.
Yeah, I'm like, are you trying to say that you like skydiving? That's fair. Say skydiving.
But yeah,
like,
that's adrenaline. I get that.
Yeah, like you like running on a motorcycle. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I get it. You get your heart pumping. That's exciting. But saying dangerous situations, you're like, are you trying to say that you like role playing like intruders? Like,
right? But you're like, if that's your kink, that's fine. But like, fine. You know. Yeah. But I do like that you said that we kind of seem sometimes that we might be desensitized to everything. So I will say that, because I'm a pretty chill person, and I'm also a great person in an emergency. Like, I'm quick and like to get things done, and this was a good example of that. Like, I was like, boom, 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 like done. But at the same time, I was still a bit shaken, and I actually quite enjoyed that. Like, I was like, oh no, that means I'm a human being and that I have feelings, and like, even though it was stressful, it's just kind of like a reminder of how like precious life is, in a way. Not to get like cheesy.
I think that's part of the reason we have like this real life horror segments, because like, you know, there's some, everybody has their stories and everybody comes across some gnarly things every once in a while. And it just, like I said, makes us appreciate, you know, sitting around at home being safe.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like I said, I'm sorry about your whole dog situation. I'm really, really like, at least the dogs are okay. Like I said, and
yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like I said too, like, dogs are my main responsibility, and they were chill, totally fine. Me on the other hand, was like, shaken up, but overall,
dogs are fine. You might be okay. Yeah, the only other thing is, like, oh, wait, let me see here. Maddie's seen a couple things. That stupid M. Night Shyamalan, The Ding Dong Presents The Watchers. I saw half of it. It's like...
I've already felt like it.
I already saw part reviews for it. Like, it, I think it's like a sort of... I feel like it's a YA thing, like, that's posing as a horror movie. I haven't gotten to the ending, but, like, already I'm like, eh. Mm. But maybe that's because... Like, so it turns out his daughter wrote it, and it's his... Yeah, so it's not M. Night Shyamalan. It's M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, so it is an M. Night Shyamalan production, I guess. Did I watch anything else?
No, sorry, no, go back right. to The Watchers. I didn't mean to distract us.
I think In a Violent Nature, which you posted about on the Instagram, is available for VOD. And it's only like $6, so I'm like definitely going to like... I'm like... $6 is really...
I know. Yeah, $6 is fine. And I just keep hearing really wonderful things. And I've seen a couple of just the clips, not even the trailer, like just a couple clips. And I'm like, ooh.
Like, it's like, it's kind of like it knows what it is, kind of like Saw level or Hostel. Like we know this is going to be gratuitous violence. And, you know, it's not going to make you feel better at the end of the day, but it's going to be maybe be a fun ride.
And the way I go into like movies like that, like either Saw or Terrifier, you, like you said, very grotesque. I'm more so there for like, what kind of creativity are you bringing me?
Yeah, right. Because like we talk about it all the time, right? Like give me a memorable, give me a memorable death. Give me something I can go home to. Like, oh, you remember when he flipped her around and da 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 da?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be like, that was crazy. Because I mean, we see the normal things, to say it that way, but we, in horror, like, yeah. So when it comes to movies like that, I'm like, yes, where, show me something I haven't seen.
I swear some other stuff, but regardless, I did see some true crime stuff with Ming on Hulu and a couple of like supporting podcasts or whatever. There was the true story of Sherry Papini, the Perfect Wife documentary on Hulu. Now, this is a fucking bonkers ass motherfucking story, Courtney. I don't know if you've already...
What?
The Perfect Wife?
What's it called again? Sorry.
Hulu? I think it just came out. And I think Ming's really into true crime, and she's like...
Okay.
She just like binges it all day long to the point I'm like I was like, I watch a lot of stuff, and I used to listen to a lot of true crime. I'm like, but I was like, now I'm starting to get... nervous. So then what was it? This guy Keith Papini and his wife Sherry, I think they've been married for like 10 years or something like that, and then one day Keith comes home and he notices that his wife isn't home with the kids, gets a call from the he calls the daycare and asks him when his wife picked up the kids, and he's like, no, your kids are still here and your wife hasn't picked them up yet. Later finds out 22 days have gone by. Sherry's been missing. She just shows up out of the blue at a truck site. Has chained up, literally, and branded, and covered in bruises. I'm just going to fast forward through this whole thing. Spoiler alert, if you haven't heard...
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, skip.
Ahead. Like, there's a bunch of podcasts that are doing it. 2020 was a pretty, I think, brief... but thorough synopsis on the story. The Hulu documentary, I think, is like a few episodes, all like almost an hour each. So then it's been 4 years. So I think it's like, I think she was kidnapped in 2020. And then like around 2023 or like 3 years later, police start to really unravel the mystery of what had happened to her. She's kind of like baby birding the details of her kidnapping. Like more details start to come to light years later. Like, oh, the details on, she's a very distinct description of like the coffee table in the living room. This all takes place in California. I think it's like around, like outer Los Angeles area. I could be wrong. But the other parts of the story take place in Costa Mesa. So 9 hours.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Orange County.
So then maybe. So then maybe that part was Orange County, and then the other part was like North Cal, you know? But I could be wrong. I'm not looking at the map. But regardless, the story's bonkers fucking regardless. She's baby birding these details of what had fucking happened. And, oh, like, in the, I was chained up in a room. There was no light. I was in there in a mattress. There was a very distinct shelf in the closet that I was chained to with wires. Later she gave description that it was these two Hispanic gangbanging women that were keeping me there. They were going to sex traffic me, but one of the people, like, had sympathy for me and let me help me get away. Like okay. And she was fucking branded with like words, like she was labeled. So bonkers, right?
Wait, just so, before you continue, she was gone for 22 days,
in the 3 year period after she returned home. So she was gone for 22 days. It
got you. Okay. Exactly. Yeah,
right.
Okay,
like got you. In the three year span, she's remembering more. Oh yeah.
Right, it's coming up, and trauma will do that to you. Yeah. So
remember that.
Part. Yeah.
So, and I hate to be the one to spoil it for you.
No, it's okay, because I think you know me. Like, I will take spoilers because chances of me watching it are slim.
So I forgot. I think she had some stuff on her, and there was a syringe of some sort, and they found some DNA on the syringe. They traced back the syringe. DNA that had her DNA on it and the DNA of her ex-boyfriend. So then they started doing a little bit of deep dive to her in her ex-boyfriend, who she said was abusive to her at one point, and that's why she left him, and then she married this guy Keith. And then they start noticing, like, they see photos of them on Facebook and notice, like, hey, like, these photos on your Facebook or your apartment, like, are really specific to, like, some of the descriptions she might have been giving, as far as what she's remembering, especially the coffee table. So then, like, cops putting it together one thing at a time. They call her in 3 years later so they can be, like, with pictures of, you know, this guy's apartment, be like, and all the details to, like, a crack in the tile, all in her ex-boyfriend's apartment, right? So then,
okay.
So then they're confronting there, and she's just like, yeah, like, this is, like, it's not exactly the same, but it looks pretty much the fucking same, you know? And she's kind of just, then, like, yeah, we had a conversation with the person that lives there, and who has a wildly different account of the 22 days while you were missing. He says that you had asked him to pick you up so you could stay in his house for 22 days and just kind of watched as the whole world was fucking looking for her, and just stayed in a room and basically had him or her inflict all that damage onto herself. She's a fucking sociopath. She faked her own kidnapping. And this is fucking bonkers.
Okay, and so the ex-boyfriend was just, like, aware of it. Like, he was like, yeah, she was just in my house for 22 days.
He branded
hurting
her
herself.
Because she asked. Yeah, yeah.
Because she asked him. And yeah, he was basically, like, sure. Like,
I guess he thought they were going to be together again. Yeah, or something
forever,
like that. But
yeah.
She chained herself up. He had her hit her with a hockey puck to cause, like, really, really deep bruises. This is fucking bananas. And then she comes back and acts like, you know, like a fucking survivor, and she's fucking taking in donations. She's fucking doing all that. This is like a
GoFundMe. Yeah, GoFundMe, please help me.
Literally
doing a
real life Gone Girl. Like I thought.
Fuck. Ruining it for people that are actually going
100%, because that was part of it too. Part of it was that somebody in her neighborhood, I think when she went to high school, had disappeared. So then they were like, oh my god, this is another case of somebody of a girl gone missing in our hometown. you know, and they brought her up again, and the family's like, oh my God, is this the same people? Yada, yada, yada. And then on top of that, blaming fucking Latinos, like in that neighborhood, people were like, they said that Latin women and two wouldn't be seen together because they were afraid that they were going to get fucking stopped by the police. Like, yeah.
Oh, is she white? Yeah, sorry, is she white?
Okay, I want to say Christ. This is a Karen gone awry. This is, yeah. Ugh. And then there was cases when she was throwing it back in her husband's face where she's just like, I can't believe you never fucking found me. And I'm like, how the fuck? He thought you were kidnapped. He thought you were probably sex trafficked. He probably thought you were in another country. It's not fucking Taken. Your boy's a construction worker. He's not fucking FBI.
Exactly. Not fucking fair. You didn't look for me. Fuck you. Like, you don't think my world was turned upside down? Worrying about, like, you being sex trafficked, that you're dead?
Endless
oh, my God.
Things.
Endless things.
Just for the attention. Yeah, I think she got, like, something like, I don't know, 50, like 40 to 50 G's in donations. Yeah. So, long story short.
So, wait, are you guys finished? So, yeah.
Oh,
what happened?
She went to jail. I think she only served like 10 months or something like that. So not a long period of time. 34 counts of mail fraud, I believe, and some other stuff.
Okay.
I think some parts. I think how they might have caught her as well is because. Oh no, that was a different story. That was a different story. We'll watch all together. Never mind. I'm starting to get my stories mixed up.
I do that too. You're fine. Especially when you watch a lot of true crime, like back to back.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah. Also had to do with the syringe. Oops. But it was a different story altogether. No. So, yeah.
So, she's out, right? Like, she's out roaming free now.
Our good guy Keith has since divorced her, and he's filing for full custody as we speak. Good for him. But,
yeah,
like,
good for him.
Jesus. But then, like, it kind of comes out later that she always had like this history of being a bit racist and
being
like looking for attention. Like there was I forgot what it was, like a blog or something like came to light. Like you said, you put anything on the internet, people are gonna fucking find it, right? So like apparently like this long like these long blog posts of like her encounters in high school dealing with like Hispanic people and then the people she went to high school with, like, they're like, no, none of that shit ever fucking happened. She's making all that fucking shit up. So, a bit of a manipulator. Yeah, she's fucking bonkers. Because it looks like she not only manipulated her, like, her husband Keith, but this other guy, her ex-boyfriend, I forgot his name, something Cruz, something other.
Did he have to go to jail? Like, what was his involvement? Like,
specify.
As far as because like I understand he didn't do any, like, he did do things wrong. He made bad choices. However, it's not like he actually kidnapped her.
He just picked her up, and she made it look like a crime scene. You know, like, but then again, like everything. See, there was always the cops were always a little bit suspicious because nothing ever seemed like a real crime, right? Like her phone was found at an intersection where it was like her jogging path or whatever, but it didn't look like it was tossed. It just kind of looked like it was placed on the floor, you know. And then like the more she gave details, you know, like the cops were just able to like, this just doesn't fucking seem right. This is just kind of.
No, she's not Dexter. She's not. She doesn't know how to make a crime scene.
So, and then like, I guess her mistake would have been that she used. Yeah, she used like the real place she was staying in as the groundwork for her made up kidnapping story. Like, had she
she's a dumbass.
Had she never had like given up those specific details, then maybe the cops would have never been able to like put two and two together. But even then, they still would have found the DNA on the syringe. That was her ex-boyfriend, and then they still would have traced it back when they asked him about it. Like, oh yeah, she's been here for 22 days. And then she just, like, one day she just said she wanted to go home, and she just went home because she missed her kids. He would just go to work and come back, and she'd just be there.
That's so wild. That's so wild.
In this day and age, fucking posing your old, fucking Boy Who Cried Wolf, you posing your old kidnapping? That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, but I think my favorite part of that story was the ex-boyfriend being like, yeah, she just came over and said, I need to be here for 22 days. And he was okay.
So she bought burner phones, right? So she sends him a burner phone. Yeah. And I don't know what messages they were. They kind of like didn't put all that out there. If she was like...
Okay, but she was sleeping with the ex-boyfriend while there, right?
They never said anything.
Like, they were having an affair? He said
that they slept in separate rooms. And that she...
I don't believe that, but yeah, sure.
Nobody's going to believe it. He said, like, I slept on the couch and never touched her.
You didn't. Like, you're in love with her.
Well, yeah, you're not doing this because, she's my friend. Like, no, you're doing this because he drove 9 hours down to pick her up.
Dude is in love and thinking they're going to be together forever.
He did
think
that. He did say that. He's just like, I thought we were going to get back together.
And I'm not faulting him for that. I'm not. Like, shit happens, but... Poor guy.
Poor both guys. I mean, like, what guys will do for
and Keith.
Yeah, for fucking the potential of love or when you or your partner. Like, Jesus Christ. That's...
Yeah, because she's what's wrong. And it's really unfortunate what happened to those two. Oof.
Well, so Perfect Wife on Hulu. If I didn't ruin it for you and you still want to check it out. But like I said, there's a bunch of other podcasts that are doing their story on it. And this is going to be fucking talked about, like, this guy's never going to live it down.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are going to know who he is for now forever. He wants to change his last name, but his kids, like, it's kind of hard. Like, she's got two kids, you know? Like, how do you...
Keith? This guy,
The family. Like, the chick, like, how do you explain that to your kid? Like, oh, yeah, your mom, I would never trust her ever again. Like...
Oh, no, you could never. And I think... I mean, that's so hard, but I guess the most important steps for that family would be hopefully if you can change your last name, everyone's last name, and then therapy. Many, many forms of it.
Yeah.
Because that's rough. Yeah. That is rough.
So I think she does have to pay something like $300,000 in fines, which perfectly fine with.
That doesn't... I'm perfectly fine with it should be more. Like, she should have to pay back all those people and then some.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the $300,000 is for.
Like, exactly. Like, she has to pay them emotional damages. Because she, I was like, you caused this emotional pain because you wanted attention. Because
you wanted it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, the only thing is really explained. She hasn't had any interviews or stuff like that. But, I mean, to pay for this fucking crazy, I mean, she could probably turn it around, make it about herself even more. And make up a bunch of bullshit.
If she wants to go down that deep, dark hole of being an awful person,
go on the fucking news channels and then get
I don't know. She's already, it seems like she already has that, again, sociopathic personality, whatever it may be, needs a psychiatrist amongst many, many other things.
Do not think she should have been left out. So, like, 100, no way should she have been left out. But, I don't know. I don't want to get fucking political as far as, like, what certain people have to go, like, how much time certain people get served in jail.
Yeah, I don't know. It just also, like, the steps people will take to just not face themselves. Like, the steps, like, I don't know if that makes sense to you. Like, the things people will do just to avoid any confrontation, which means, like, just taking a hard look at themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really hard to do that, though, and I understand.
People, you know, distract themselves with all sorts of shit, you know, like, all the time, just so they don't look at themselves. I get it.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird. Real life horror, that was the point of that story. Ooh. Yeah. So, pick your partners wisely. and with that, we'll be segueing into our main topic for this dead air. And Courtney is doing a little bit of a deep dive into an old classic, an oldie but a goodie, Dexter. Not Dexter's Laboratory.
But that is an old, that is a goodie.
Yeah, it is a goodie. So Dexter was just, I guess, re-released on Netflix all seasons again. So you're not the only one who's doing like another like resurgence into this series or another dive into the series. I think I've only seen it just once. The whole thing. mostly because being
that,
a Miami
honestly,
boy.
Honestly, when I first met Ming and you, and she was like, yeah, I'm from Miami, I think one of the first things I said was, like, Dexter. And she just, like, rolled her eyes at me.
Oh, why?
Probably because she was like, oh, yeah, that show. Like, I don't know if she's a big fan of it, or she's kind of like, yeah, 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 Dexter. And I'm like, I fucking love it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk.
But although... Mm-hmm. The entirety of the show, pretty much, except for the, but yeah, let's gonna do it. So, except for like the exteriors that they use that are very specifically Miami, it was all shot in here in Los Angeles and in Long Beach.
Yeah.
So,
well, with the exception of the first season,
yeah.
Did you say
they did a lot of that in Miami?
That
no, it's okay. No, you went on further because like most of the exterior shots, and I know. Definitely the pilot episode was all filmed in Miami and his apartment. But yeah, maybe the whole first season though is actually Miami.
Yeah. Definitely. I was just like, what, like seeing clips of it. I'm like, oh yeah, these are all Miami. This is like actual Miami. And it was just like, oh, it's kind of nice to see. Cause like I said, nothing nowadays, rarely anything is shot in Miami. You know,
it's not really a town for that. So yeah,
the traffic and it's tight, and you know, like things get expensive, and you know, like a couple, like there's a lot of things that shot in the Keys. Like what was that show? Blood Ties? What was it? Family Ties? It was actually a really, really nice one that takes place in La Florida Keys, and I had a couple friends that worked on that one as like production assistants, things like that. But yeah. But
oh,
yeah,
cool.
So like that's why it's nice and nostalgic. We'll watch it close from this from now. But Dexter Morgan, a Miami-based blood splatter expert.
Yes, so he is. Yes, he is a blood splatter expert for Miami Metro Homicide.
Made up.
Where made up. I know you were going to say that. You're like, that doesn't exist. And that's okay. I know that what's it actually called? Is it Miami-Dade County? Like, what are you guys actually called?
There's a few. There's county police, and I think there's metro police. But yeah, Miami-Dade PD. But yeah, all I know is because my friend works for the police department, and they're very distinct on like. And then there's the sub ones, like as far as like each district in Miami has its own police department, but then there's the general broad Miami, but it's not called Metro PD exactly. That's
okay, well, so what this show basically makes us believe that Dexter is basically lab geek for Miami Metro Homicide, so they take care of all of the fucking serial killers in Miami. Which, cool. Like, the original season, so 1 through 8, it aired from 2006 to 2013, which for me was high school and into college. So those are, I don't know, like perfect age for that. But I never actually watched it real time. I don't think I got onto it until like 2009, 2010. So I had already graduated high school and was into college when I was actually able to start watching it, because I never had Showtime, because this is a Showtime original.
Yeah, nobody had Showtime.
And no one had it. And this was back in the day where there was no streaming services. So I had to basically, I'll say right here, like I had to illegally try to watch this when I was over in college, just like finding streaming, old school streaming sites to be able to watch it. But I fucking love this show. It's a huge comfort show for me. I love Michael C. Hall as this character, Dexter. I think he kills it as the way he looks, because he looks just, he's an attractive man, but he delivers this like, I'm a lab geek. And he relies so much on the cover of he is just your average kind of like guy. Like, he's a lab geek, he just has a girlfriend, maybe a couple kids, he likes to go fishing. He really relies on this average everyday Joe kind of dude, and he's actually a vigilante and is badass and kills all of the, like, well, not all of them, but he focuses on cases that he knows people that have been gotten away with murder or whatever, and then he secretly spies on them and or investigates them, tracks them down, makes his kill room, kills them, dumps them in the ocean. Like, that's his the gist of what he does. And obviously through the 8 seasons of the show, there are moments where you're like, how the fuck has this guy not gotten caught? Like, he's surrounded by detectives.
This also makes it look like Miami is just full of fucking serial killers. And I'm like,
right, it really does.
This fucking town is out of control.
Miami's out of control. Like, every single week, there's a new serial killer that Dexter has to take care of.
Like, holy shit. Like,
because that's what it is. Each season, you have the main, what I call main serial killer or the antagonist. So there's a couple different ones sometimes, and sometimes they're like the same. So season 1, we have Ice Truck Killer,
yeah,
which ends up being Dexter's actual biological brother, which is a fun thing. And also, I'm gonna have a little bit of spoilers here, everyone. And if you haven't seen any of Dexter, I highly recommend
it. Literally
it
ended more than 10 years ago. Like, come on.
I know. So another thing where I'm like, come on, you guys. And like you said, it's back on Netflix. It's, I saw it come back on Netflix and I think I screamed with joy. I was like, thank fuck. I love I'm like, because I still don't have Showtime and I still don't think anyone does.
Exactly. Like, Showtime is still a thing.
So I'm like, I don't know. Because I think this was the only Showtime show I ever was like on, like I loved. Anything else I was kind of like eh about. But also I wanted to make a note that this show was right around the time of Breaking Bad. So just maybe remember that life.
Yeah, it's
like when people were like over, like going crazy for Breaking Bad, I was the other person that was going crazy for Dexter. No, like Breaking Bad was winning all of the awards, as it should. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Breaking Bad. That is a quality show, like top 5 in the like of all time. But I remember like it was always Dexter like at the award shows, and then Breaking Bad was always winning, and I was like, oh come on, like give Dexter a shot.
Well, it's just that Breaking Bad, like without it having to be on premier television, you know, like i.e. like HBO,
yeah,
Showtime, whatever the fuck, and without having to have like all the sex and the gore and stuff like that, like Breaking Bad was such a well-written show, and Dexter had an amazing premise for a show, right? You have your serial killer who takes out other serial killers, right? Because we can't have him. But this was like in the era, like I said, Breaking Bad, where you're wanting to root for the bad guy. Right, like, so yeah, we have our sort of anti-hero, for lack of a better term, you know, Michael C. Hall, Dexter, you know, the serial killer that takes out other serial killers because that's his code, right? Because other than that, he's just gonna kill everybody. And I like that struggle, you know, he's not that just that he's morally good or anything like that, he just has the tendency and the fascination or the fixation to murder. Right, so he's just gonna like, I'm gonna murder people who deserve it because that's what I.
Yeah, because it's like you mentioned it, the code. Like his dad Harry, told him this. He gave him this code because he kind of realized when he kind of took in Dexter, because he's Dexter's adopted by Harry, and realizing Dexter had this dark passenger is what they call it, and he was like, well, okay, you're gonna kill, and I know you're gonna kill. So I'm going to teach you how to kill bad people because we might as well have you being efficient in some way.
I like it. That would be mean, but like, man, we just got to get you to be like a useful, you know, like I can't have you here just standing around just murdering one.
Yeah. Like, because he did like those classic like serial killer psychopath things where he was like killing animals when he was a kid, and his dad Harry was like, so, but I also do love that as the show moves along and you see Dexter grow, like there is growth in his character and he does have somewhat of a moral compass. Like there are moments where he's like, I cannot kill this person. They didn't do anything wrong. They're just an asshole. And he moves along and I'm like, okay.
We just kind of all right. So I didn't like, knowing that you were going to talk about this, I wanted to like look into the book and look into the author. And that's pretty much like all the author has to say about like how he came up with the idea for Dexter. He was giving a talk to some business guys, some sort of lecture or whatever. I don't know why, like productivity business or whatnot. And he was just like at the end of it, as they're like all sitting around laughing, he's just like, you know, Like, what, some of the terms he used, I guess mass murder would be okay in some regards. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking dark. But that's how he came up with the idea for Dexter, and that's what he used. I mean, he said the story like a million times, so he phrased it exactly the same every time. But in this case, this is like one of those few cases where the adaptation is much better than the book. The book is fine. The books are fine. Yeah. They're 8 books. They're 8 seasons. They kind of play out almost exactly the same in some regards. There's different things happen to different characters. All the characters are pretty much the same. The one difference is that, this is how much they don't give a shit what the author says, because like I said, there's barely any interviews with him. Like, fine. And and he's just like,
they're like, whatever.
He's just like, I wish they would have thrown in some more of my comedy that I had in the book. You know, it was like, that's you thinking you're funnier, the funniest guy in the room. Like, much like myself, we're just like, oh yeah, I think I'm funny as shit. You know, like, really wish they would have put this in the book or this in the movie, whatever.
And they're just like, you know, Showtime's like, hey man, here's your check. Just take it.
Like, thanks. We're gonna run.
They're
with
like,
this.
I think we got a good handle on it. Thank you.
And I think it's just like you stumbled onto a premise, and you wrote a pretty decent story, but like you stumbled onto something by accident. You have like no idea like how good it is that you stumbled upon. Because like once you start dealing with like his psychopathy and like what he deals with and the moral standing and like, you know, like, and then how other like much smarter people than me, like doctors, start like doing like a little synopsis and like on his personality and what he could possibly do, what he actually deals with, and I'm like, it's so fucking fascinating in that regard. Mm-hmm. But then it's also cool to just watch him kill some people.
Yeah, because you can totally tell, like, again, he relies solely on this like persona that he is like, oh yeah, I'm just a little lab geek, like I love my sister and da da da. And then you have this other where he is a fucking serial killer and he knows how to fight. Like, one of my favorites, like, because I'm in season 6 right now as I'm rewatching, and one of my favorite lines, like, is from this other guy where he's just like, oh, I'm just a lab geek. And he goes, you don't fight like no lab geek. Because he saw him, like, completely kick this guy's ass. And then Dex just kind of looks at him. And, like, it's just that moment where he's like, I know something's up with you, but we're just kind of, like, going to, like, slide past it.
Yeah. What was the, it's funny. It's his Clark Kent is what it is. Like, it's his bumbling, stumbling persona. And it's kind of funny how he plays that up a little bit. It's weird how he plays it up, because you know he's acting like he's acting, essentially.
I know. Go.
Which I'm like...
I was waiting for you to get there, because I was like, there are moments where he's like, oh my God, oh no, she's dead.
And it's a little cringy, but it's kind of like...
But then you're kind of like, okay, Dexter, like, he gets away with it. You're just like, okay.
Yeah, like, he shows up to a death scene and he's like, beautiful. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, the place we're in, oh, it's beautiful.
And he's like, I really love the wallpaper. And you're like, sure.
Yeah, sure. Dismembered body. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So he's definitely quirky for sure. And there are moments in the writing too where you're just like, I feel like they got a little lazy, because I ranked my seasons.
Oh, like, wait, okay. So before you do that, I know the original writer, and part of the reason, like, it got good. It was like a phenomenon for a while. Dexter.
Oh yeah, he had his time to shine.
So I did find out that the original showrunner, he left the show after season 4, and then that's when people started to say kind of a little bit redundant, and it kind of started taking a little bit of dive. That original showrunner did come back for New Blood, which I will hear your take on it in a second, as you are the resident Dexter expert. And yeah, so I was just like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense, because I think, what, Trinity Killer was season 4? Was that John Lithgow?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. The creepiest fucking character.
Which I was just like, oh yeah. It's funny because, what is it, 10?
That was peak.
Yeah.
They peaked right then.
Because then that would have been, what, 2010? And I still remember that.
And then Michael C. Hall and Jonathan Lithgow actually won Golden Globes, finally. They beat out. So they finally got some recognition, but it was only season 4.
You are the expert. Okay, so give us your ranking.
So overall, season two is my favorite. I've in the past just watched season two when I've wanted like a comfort show and just gone on my way. But like, cool, got my Dexter fix.
Run us down season on season two.
Is the main antagonist or whatever is called the Bay Harbor Butcher, which is actually Dexter, because they end up finding all of the dead bodies in the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. That Dexter's been putting, and then they call this person the Bay Harbor Butcher. Mm-hmm. And so now Dexter's like confronted being like, oh fuck, they're finding all these dead bodies I killed.
The names are pretty good. Like the names for the Ice Truck Killer, perfect.
I know, they do have some really fun names. He doesn't like it though. Dexter, like I said, repeats himself in that season. He's like, I don't like that fucking name. Like, he's like, why are they calling me that? And it's great because he also meets another antagonist in that season. Because I'm like, he's the focus of this season, right? He's the serial killer they're trying to catch, even though we're not supposed to know, or the police aren't supposed
good
to know.
Good turn,
that.
I like it.
Yeah, and then we have this other chick, Lila, that we meet, that he meets at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because Dexter gets himself into a little bit of trouble with Rita, his girlfriend, and with all the killings. And so he basically lies to her and he's like, yeah, I'm a heroin addict. And so he has to start going to meetings to try to prove to her that he's getting better. But in reality, he's like, whatever. And then he meets Lila, and she, speaking of sociopaths, is like a sociopath. Like, she goes to these meetings to make it seem like she has emotions or that she can feel these things. And then she latches herself onto him and becomes insanely obsessed with him, following him around, breaking into his apartment. They have an affair at some point because Rita and him break up for a bit. And then it's such a mess with her destroying his life while he's trying to cover up the fact that he's the Bay Harbor Butcher. But in reality, she ends up helping him at the end because she ends up stumbling upon a secret cabin that Dexter has. And Dexter has Sergeant Doakes, who's part of Miami Metro Homicide, who would never liked Dexter from the beginning. And then Lila finds out and basically blows him up, and Dexter gets away with it. So like, this is weird thing where Dexter's like, I'm kind of thankful for this woman because she helped me frame this guy. But now she has
surprise,
to
die. Motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker. That's that famous meme. If anyone is seeing anything, it's that meme of surprise,
it's
motherfucker.
Surprise, motherfucker.
That's Sergeant Doakes. And Doakes, honestly, is a fantastic character. Like, for the short seasons, he's in seasons one and two only. He's a great character. He, from day one, he's like, I don't like that guy.
That's just Dexter's cop instinct. Like, fuck that guy. He knows it. You know, that makes him.
And he was right.
Fun fact, Doakes survives in the books, and that he knows that Dexter's the killer, but doesn't have a tongue or arms or limbs, so he can't tell anybody, which is kind of lame, and just better off to kill a character.
That is really lame. And I'm glad they just killed the character, because that's exactly what does happen to him. Like, he gets fucking blown up. So that is my favorite season. It's so well written, and it's so beautifully tramples around the idea that like Dexter almost gets caught. And then of course they try to do that same thing over and over again in each season, and that's when I kind of started to get a little annoyed. And when you're like, "Oh, the fuck has this guy not been caught yet?"
Exactly. I was gonna say like that's where it kind of got like every season he almost gets caught, right? And then that's where they blame it on the other killer.
Yeah, he eventually, each season, basically, he eventually turns it around and makes it seem like it was that. So it gets old. Like, when that part of the writing, when I'm like, all right, guys, like, let's do something a little different. But nonetheless, so season two is my favorite. But back to, like, my overall thing. I do season two, season one, season four, and then season seven as the rank of seasons where I'm like, these are solid.
All right, seven is being which one?
Seven is Isaac Serko, who is the leader, or not the leader, but he's part of the Ukrainian mob. And in the first episode, Dexter accidentally ends up killing his lover, and that is why he basically starts going after Dexter. Hmm. But it's really well written, that character, Isaac, and then the relationship with Dexter. And then we also get introduced to the character Hannah, played by Yvonne Strakovsky, who's a wonderful actress. She's in Handmaid's Tale, amongst other things. However, I don't enjoy her in this show. Like, she really kind of pissed me off. But we do get the intro to her in season 7 because she is the one that eventually ends up taking Harrison and raising him.
Oh, gotcha.
Dexter's son. So those 4 seasons, I'm like, those are solid. I enjoy those. Next up, that are good, they might be a little forgetful, but they're good. I would say season 3, and then season 5. And then we get to probably bottom of the barrel, like kind of boring city, season 6 and season 8.
Oh, wasn't Yvonne, wasn't her character, she was also a serial killer?
Yeah, she was like she's an expert in poisons, basically. So she could, like, she was really into gardening and things like that because she knew which herbs that mixed together to poison people that would go unnoticed. So she was, yeah, in her own way, a serial killer, but she basically killed, like, boyfriends is what she did.
Only boyfriends.
Yeah. She wasn't really, like, out to get other people. She was just killing ex-boyfriends.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay.
There is something to say with the women he's involved with romantically. Sometimes I'm like, ugh, like, we really couldn't write a better woman for him, which is kind of a bummer. But then you have Deborah, who is his sister, who I actually really enjoy the growth of her character, except for when we get to 7 and 8, she kind of falls off the wagon, but rightfully so for what she goes through.
When did she fall in love with him? Is that when she falls in love with him? Like, it was like a weird thing where, like, what if they fell in love? And I'm like, oh.
Because that, exactly. And it was like, but they're brother and sister. And then everyone's like, yeah, but they're not blood related. And I'm like, no, that's still not okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. And, but she loses her mind because she finds out what Dexter is truly at the end of season 6. And then, so she actually witnesses him being like him murdering, and then she pieces everything together and realizes that he's been all of these things through all of the years. And so she goes through this huge, I don't know how to word it, but like, she's like, I love my brother so much and I want to protect him. But then also she's a cop.
She's conflicted is what you're saying.
Conflict, yeah. Moral. Yeah, whatever. Conflicted because of all of that. And then in season 7, she ends up like killing La Guerta, who is like her superior.
Oh, she's the one that kills La Guerta? I was just like, gonna
she's
guess
the one that kills La Guerta. Yeah, Deb does to save Dexter. She basically has to make that, has that choice.
Something's done, he almost
it's
gets
either
caught.
Shoot Dexter. Yeah. It's like shoot Dexter or shoot, oh, he almost gets caught for the 500th time. Yeah, so it's either shoot Dexter or shoot La Guerta, and she shoots La Guerta. And then in season 8 is when she's like, I think I'm in love with, like, and all that shit. And she goes off the bonkers. Like, she quits the Miami police department. She starts working for a private thing. Like, she's all over the place, like, traumatized. Yeah. And the actress does well. Like, she really does. And she hasn't done much. Like, she's been quite quiet. These over the years, which Jennifer Carpenter, yes, that's her name.
Yeah.
And also a fun fact, Jennifer Carpenter and Michael C. Hall were in real life married when they were filming this show. And Michael C. Hall even went through cancer towards the end of the series as well.
Oh, shit.
And she supported him fully. And then after the show was over, they ended up getting a mutual divorce. So I still think they're good friends, which I would hope so. But it's just an interesting thing.
Yeah.
To look at. But yeah, because like I said before, I'm on season 6 right now, and as I'm rewatching it, I'm getting a little like, oh, this is a bad one. This is one of the bad ones.
We'll just get, like I said, it kind of gets a little redundant. Like, I think they just overstayed their welcome, and I think they were just looking for to milk in. I mean, I guess this was like before. This was also before, I think, like, shows had an idea, but like, maybe we should just end on a high note, you know, as opposed to just keep fucking milking this dead cow.
100%.
To piggyback off the his love interest, I really thought it was super interesting that, like, he was, like, pretty much asexual in the first season, I'm a serial killer, like, I'm a psychopath, like, I have no sexual drive whatsoever. And so he finds this, which is weird because it almost seemed like he cherry-picked Rita to be like, yeah, I can have a beard, for lack of a better term, and give the appearance of being a normal person. But she...
Oh, he 100% chose her specifically.
But she also has so much past trauma that she can't have sexual contact. which is like kind of fucked up for her, but he's also like taking care of, and he's taking care of the family, so he's like genuinely being nice, but they have no sexual relationship up until like what, season 2 or 3 or whatever, and then he discovers that Joy's
in actually the first season.
Oh,
they kind of do, okay. Like towards the end, because she gets pregnant in season 3, because that is in then we get Harrison. But no, you are correct. Like pilot episode, he says like, I met Rita through Deb. She was sexually abused by her ex-husband, and also just hit all the time, and she had no interest in being sexual. And that's when Dexter's like, yeah, and I'm very okay with that. Like, he's like, no rush. But then Rita is actually the one that starts. Like, she's like, no, I want this now. And so he has to like readjust and kind of be like, okay. But I don't think it was ever any, like, I still kind of don't think it's ever something he searches for. It just sort of happens for him. I think sometimes he just kind of stumbles in and he's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Then it's kind of nice when he like discovers the joys of sex. And he's just like, oh, this isn't that bad. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and honestly, in this, like, again, season 6, like, he gets a blowjob at like his high school reunion from like the popular girl. And he like literally is like, no, I probably shouldn't. Like, we shouldn't do this. And then it starts and he's like, actually, yeah, okay. Like,
see, you are an expert. That's a very obscure reference. That's like so deep.
Only because I just watched it. It's fresh on my mind, but I was like laughing at that scene because I was like, oh, that's so funny of him for being like, no, I don't want this. And then he's just like lets it happen. And then he was like, I guess that was okay. But then like immediately back to killing.
New Blood. Let's touch on New Blood real quick. Because I don't want to like leave anybody hanging. And like you said, the showrunner came back from to New Blood.
And I just found out how that ended. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Before we talk about New Blood, let's talk about the rated one of the worst endings of all time for an ongoing series.
Oh, yeah, you're season right. 8, okay.
Dexter Morgan is almost going to be caught again. Or I guess what? He is going to be caught. And everybody found out. Like you said, I mean, they played it up, right? Like you said, how have you not been caught already? So all arrows kind of lead back to Dexter at one point, which I'm like, perfect. They're fucking finally figured it out. And it only just shows you how good Dexter is if you can fool people for that long. Anyway, he just decides to fucking just pack up and leave. And then first, I really think he was going to commit. Like, we all thought he was committing suicide by...
Yeah.
Doing a very Miami thing, and you know, or as Miami as Miami can get, by, you know, riding into a hurricane.
I wish they, I guess, in all honesty, I wish they kind of would have just been like, yeah, he died. Like, send him off that way.
I don't mind the whole fake death, you know. I think I just, the whole riding into a hurricane, and everybody, I guess, it may be like, what does. Does Deborah also die?
Deborah does die, and that is kind of what sends him like he does love Deb, but he doesn't love her romantically for obvious reasons. So when she does die, he's like, okay, he gives Harrison, his son, to Hannah, and is like, you two go off. So Hannah takes Harrison, and Harrison's like, I don't know, 4, 5 at this point. And then Deb's dead, and that is when he's like, I'm going off to sea. So I think he kind of had the idea that he was also going to die. But then that didn't happen because the end of the season, the series, is him being a fucking lumberjack. Like, he just has this nasty-ass fake pubic beard, and then he's just being a lumberjack. And that's how it ends. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, I guess I was more disappointed with the whole Deborah thing. I'm like, I could sort of see him going, because he actually says it in season 3, I think, where he's just like, what am I supposed to do? Just fake my own death and just, like, walk away? And I'm just like, oh, yeah. He was planning that all. I think he says it several times. And, like, that's what he was kind of leading to from the beginning. I think just the whole, I guess that's what I might be disappointed by. It just seems so over the top to just, like, go into a hurricane. And I'm like, also, I don't think you're surviving that at all. You're good,
I don't think so either. That good. Exactly. Like, you are good, but you're not supernatural. Yeah. So that hurricane's taking you out. Yeah. You're at the bottom of the ocean where you should be. So, yeah. But what I do love about what Michael C. Hall. Like, when I was watching all the interviews finally when they like announced that they were doing Dexter New Blood and he was coming back and he was Dexter. Cause he even like sat down and was like, we owe it to the fans to give them a better ending. Cause he himself admits, he's like, yeah, it wasn't great. But as an actor, you know, you signed your contract and you're like, I'm telling the story. This is what was written. I'm doing what I'm told. So I so much appreciated him being honest with that part and being like, I needed to come back and make sure the story was told to the best of my ability.
So then let's talk about, so original showrunner comes back and I hear rave reviews about the first few episodes and people fucking loved it, and because it's like going back to form with, you know, our lovable character Dexter.
It went back and to
then,
form.
And
it
then
did.
We are introduced to Harrison. He's grown up. He's like 18 or 20 or something like now. He finds his dad.
He's in high school still, so he's okay. Like 17. But yes.
So then, how do you fucking find Dexter? Hannah
tells him because Hannah is dead as well, and leaves Harrison notes and clues as to find his father.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that's all fine. And we have again our main antagonist for the season, who is none other than the voice of Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
Oh, Clancy Brown.
Hell yeah. Who I just love. I like love watching him be bad guys and stuff because he does it so well. Like, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude with a great fucking voice.
I know.
Clancy Brown has been in so many things as a general bad guy, menacing guy. Pet Sematary 2 is like the one that kind of stands out for me right now, just off the top of my head, because he comes back from the fucking dead as a police officer with his throat slit, and he just starts killing all of like Edward Furlong's friends. It was.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So, Clancy Brown. Yeah. And also, he was in the very short-lived Carnival.
Oh. Showtime? HBO.
He was the villain in that one. HBO, yeah. I think. Maybe it was Showtime. I thought it was HBO. Short-lived. I wish it would have gone further because it was written really well, but I also understand why.
I think the fan base wasn't there for it. I was like, I thought it wasn't.
Because American Horror Story did the same fucking thing with their stupid circus season.
No, but the circus season was good.
They stole so many fucking ideas from Carnival.
Fair,
they
but did. Carnival had this whole supernatural element to it, and somebody fucking reamed it the other day in front of me for some reason. Just like, oh, they were trying to be like a superhero thing. No, go fuck yourself. It was a fantastical story told in the world of 1930s carnivals. It had very little.
You and I can go off. I love that show.
It's such a like. Yeah. It. Speaking of our boy Nick Stahl and
it's
fucking
dark,
disturbing behavior, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was dark, and it wasn't trying to be a superhero show like somebody.
So Clancy Brown, fantastic, and I do have the bad habit of just calling him Mr. Krabs. So I'm trying to be, because like honestly, when I was watching New Blood, I would tell my mom, I'll be like, "Oh my god, did you see what like Mr. Krabs is up to this time?" Like. It's like, oops. Because there are moments in Dexter New Blood where he has that chuckle. Like, he doesn't do it just like Mr. Krabs, obviously, but you can hear it. But, yeah, so, oh, God. And he's awful, and he's a terrifying villain. I would put him right next to, like, fucking Trinity Killer as far as, like, creepiness. So I enjoyed that dynamic between the two of them. I loved the feeling it brought back that I was watching a fantastic season of Dexter, which I think shows in the fact that they brought back that showrunner. They brought him back and was like, this is what it is. But then
dun dun dun, we got a weird fucking ending. So we find out this is like kind of like a one-off season.
This is it.
And they were trying to set up a spin-off.
So yeah, I did my research here. So it was a one-off season. It's Dexter New Blood 2021. Because Harrison at the end ends up killing Dexter because of Dexter's wishes. Like, and I'm not mad at that, to be honest. Like, people have asked me, they're like, well, what did you really think of the ending? And I prefer it to the season 8 ending. I was okay with it. I'm like, you know what? I really enjoyed this season. I love Michael C. Hall so much for coming back and doing this. And then having it end in full circle that Harrison's doing it. And yes, they sprung the idea where they wanted to, for Harrison to carry on as like with the dark passenger and then him move on and possibly be a serial killer. But I actually looked it up and they're not going that route anymore. Like there was talks of that. But now, because as of 2023, they announced it's called Dexter Original Sin. And it follows Dexter and the beginnings of his career at Miami Metro.
Oh, so what? They're just.
So we're doing a prequel.
But it's going to be Michael C.
That's
Hall?
That's where I don't know. Nothing has been said that if he is attached to it at all. And I'm like, so help me if they're going to put him in a dumb wig like they do in actual Dexter, where they're like, oh, Michael C. Hall is 16 in this
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, he's not.
Yeah, yeah. There's Michael C. Hall, 30-year-old grown man with a fucking full like wig on. It's just like, yeah, I'm 16, guys.
Yeah, 16 guys. I'm just a little boy. And you're like, it's Michael C. Hall. He's 40. Yeah,
well, what's up, classmates? Fellow students? Yeah.
And we're like, that's not how that works. So I am like excited if he's going to be a part of it. But like, how are they going to do it? Because he is in his 40s now. Maybe like, I don't think he's 50 yet. So I'm just like, how are they really going to do that? I'm like, so obviously interested. If they can do it correctly. And unless we're getting a brand new Dexter, like we're getting baby Dexter, like 20 years old, starting at Miami Metro. I don't know, dog.
I don't know if I'm.
You know I'm going to watch it, but I have no idea. But that's. So that's interesting.
53 years
old. He's 50. Okay, he is. He is in his 50s. I mean, he still looks great, but he can't be a 20 year old. Like, he's not 25. You just can't.
Oh, it would be kind of cool, though. It would just be like, it is what it is, man. Let's just put him in a fucking wig.
Yeah. What if all of us were just like, you know what? We love Michael C. Hall so much as Dexter. Just do it. Just keep going. I am bummed, though, because I feel like if they went the Harrison route and told that story, because it's a brand new fucking story, you can do whatever. And then having Michael C. Hall come back as like a vision, like they did in the original Dexter, as Dexter and Harry, his dad. So what if we had Harrison and then we had visions of Dexter? Like, I think that would have been possible if they did it that way, for Michael C. Hall to be part of it. But now I don't know. I have no idea.
Like if he's Harrison's dark, would you say if he's Harrison's dark passenger? Like if he's just like
if Harrison, like if because. In the original show, Dexter was always talking to his dad, Harry, but his dad's dead. Sorry, maybe I didn't clarify that.
No, that's good. No, we were okay. If you haven't seen a spoiler.
So Harry's dead, like died of natural causes. Like nothing suspicious happened there. But so like if they went the Harrison route, which they're not anymore, they're doing the prequel instead. But if they actually went that way, you could have made it where Harrison sees like the visions of Dexter. And you could have had Michael C. Hall be at least a pretty significant part in that show, but not calling it Dexter, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So now they're going back and they're calling it Dexter. It's Dexter Original Sin. And now I'm like, okay, so what are we doing here?
I don't know.
Because like, now we have to filter back in Deborah as well. Like, you have to bring in all these other people, which is fine, but yeah.
Yeah, then like, you also have to do all the characters that were there. It's just, no.
So are you bringing them all back? Also, side note, the character Angel Batista, he does make an appearance in Dexter New Blood, because Dexter does have like visions of him, which I do love, because Angel Batista is one of my favorite characters in the show. He's a good one. He does have his faults, but overall is a good guy.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But. I mean, I think that's it, unless you have any questions.
rewatchability on it.
I say it's absolutely watchable because I've done it a million times. But again, I'm biased and I love it. But if you just kind of want to go into it, just do 1 through 4. Just do 1 through 4 and you're not going to be disappointed. If you get really into it and want to carry on, go for it, but you will be disappointed.
And some people recommend the books, and like, you won't, other than the first book is Dexter's brother that is the ice truck killer. Mm-hmm. And I think things play out differently. I think, but other than that, all the other books are different killers. So if you went through the series, it kind of be like a completely different experience. And it's all told through the one person perspective of Dexter. So is it like, unlike here where, you know, we get different characters and we get different storylines, especially with all the supplemental characters. So you could do a dive in the book if you wanted more Dexter, you know? And some people are like that. I did the first two books, I think, and it was very Miami, like naming all the small neighborhoods. So like, I knew this author definitely like lived in Miami at one point, because there's no way you're not talking about like street names without living here, you know, or without living there, excuse me.
Yeah.
The only thing is like, what, cool. I kind of would have liked to see it. I know that in the first book, his brother actually doesn't die, and Dexter helps him get away. And that his brother is a reoccurring character throughout the eight books. And I'm like, oh, you totally could have done that. But then there were people who were arguing, and it wouldn't have worked thematically, because at the end of season one, Dexter has to make a decision between his adopted family and his real family, right? So the way they play it out is that you can't have both. You're either one or the other. So obviously he chooses Deborah, and then he kills his brother. But I think his brother, doesn't his brother like haunt him for a little bit?
Yeah, he also shows back up and as like little visions that Dexter will have every once in a while, especially when he's in like a moral dilemma.
Yeah.
Because like Rudy, wait, that's not his real name. Brian Moser is the actual name, and then Rudy was like the fake name he was using. Yeah, my mom actually read the first couple books, and even she tells me, she's like, you wouldn't like the books. Like, I've thought about it. I'm like, oh, I should read those. But then she's like, you wouldn't, because it does follow it slightly, but it's just so different. And like you said as well, we were like, yeah, this guy had like a really great idea and like, but wasn't really quite sure what he was doing. And then the writers for the TV show kind of took over and were like, we got it.
Yeah, you got a good idea. Like you said, every time we come across like a good idea and then we kind of expand on it, like, oh, things you could have done. I think this is still that case.
Love it.
All right. Well, talk to you later, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.